Hi, I'm Blake Yeoman with the Health Services Division. I'm here with Deb Goss, the Director of Clinical Consulting Services, and I want to talk to her a little bit today about the mock survey process. Deb has a long background in state survey protocols and federal survey protocols, really a great asset for LCS in what we're doing in the post-acute space. So I want to just visit with her a little bit about what the mock survey process is all about and the significance in doing those. So I want to start out by just asking Deb a question about what do communities do to prepare for the mock survey, and what do they need to have ready when you come?
So the mock survey requires, again, a mock survey will, an email will be sent to the administrator, and it will identify a list of items to prepare for the mock survey. It's going to look a lot like a regular survey. In other words, we use that list of items that is on the QIS survey process to have prepared. And it adds a few other items that aren't on the QIS worksheet simply because of the limited time and the limited number. Unlike a regular survey where you may have 4 or 5 people come and they may spend 4 or 5 days, a mock survey is going to have one individual and they're going to spend 3 or 4 days. So to get as much as we can into their visit, we want to mitigate some risk. And so some specific key policies are asked for in advance just to make sure that this policy will meet the requirements and that's the policy we're abiding by. So there will be a list of items that the administrator and the director of nursing get together for the mock survey. It's best if they make a binder. I usually just a 3-ring notebook and tab those so that you can go through those kind of quickly. And again, then when your regular survey comes, it's also another way of getting prepared, I guess. It's done in advance, and it's been pre-approved by a mock surveyor, so to speak.
Yeah, I know a lot of communities call those survey books, right?
Right.
So
right.
They use those for the state surveyors when they come in. And it sounds like if they can prepare that with the mock surveyors as well, it's just a way to be ready in advance, make sure everything's in that book, and then use it when the state surveyors show up. So when you come into the community, what are they to expect?
So the surveyor, the mock consultant is going to conduct a survey much like your state survey. If you live in a traditional state where you're accustomed to the traditional survey process will be used. If you're in a community in a state that utilizes the QIS survey process, the QIS survey process will be used. And it's based on tracer methodology. So typically we start with a tour, just a very basic tour of the building, looking for infection control items, safety and hazard items, trying to get a feel for the layout of the building, and using tracer methodology. If certain things stick out, then they'll stay in that arena. Oftentimes, I'll use the kitchen for an example. If I watch meal service, and I'll see that they're not supervised well, or they don't have the correct utensils, that tends to indicate for me care planning or assessment or some issues in regards to the kitchen staffing unpreparedness. Other things we'll do is the med review. We'll watch a med pass. It's a key item here. Most people understand the concept, but just for review, the surveyors will look at a minimum of 25 medication opportunities. And it is a deficient practice if you have 5% or more. That equates to 2 med errors. That's important because that means your nurse needs to be confident and on the mark from the get-go. You only have 25 opportunities that they will review, and you want to do a good job with that. But based on that process, too, key items will be identified. They'll just continue to use what I call tracer methodology. They'll just spend more time looking at infection control, at policies, those kinds of things. I always tell people that a mock survey's purpose is a confidence builder. It does two things, actually. One, builds confidence. So if you are the performer, if you're the nurse or the director of nursing or the administrator, you want to perform well. You want to exude confidence with a surveyor, because if you do that, they believe you know what you're doing and they aren't as likely to start to nitpick areas to death. And the other thing the mock survey does is that it identifies where your soft spot or your risk is, so you can focus on those in preparation for a better outcome with your state. I like to believe that all of the LCS communities do a fabulous day at Quality of Care day in, day out. They're a hardworking group of bunch for our elders. They have a passion for taking care of the elderly, and they put their heart and soul into it. And so sometimes it's just a matter of when the survey team comes in that, you know, there's just a little bit off and panic exudes. And so a mock survey gives you a little bit of practice. So to me, it's about prepare, plan, practice. And then when the survey team comes, you participate. You have confidence in your skill sets and your ability to do well.
I think you made a really good comment about how important it is for sights, sounds, and smells.
Mm-hmm.
When survey process occurs, everyone's well aware that those three things are so critical. And then I think you mentioned another area that a lot of people don't think about, and that is how much confidence you have in the quality of care you're delivering, and how you demonstrate that goes a long ways in the survey process. And a lot of times, I think with surveys, even maybe so much with mock surveys, we hide in closets and we hide in offices, and we don't get out and interact with what's going on and really learn from those mock surveys, as opposed to just, oh, you know, hopefully Deb doesn't come in and find something wrong with us and send us a nasty gram. It's really more about, you know, how do we improve and get ready for survey? And I think that's important to note as we're looking at these mock survey processes. So once you're completed with the mock survey, what do you do then?
Write a report. So at the end of the visit, there's an exit, just like a regular survey. We'll highlight those tags, we call them F tags, that we believe a deficient practice exists in, and we'll write a report. The report will look very much like a 2567, that statement of deficiencies that the state delivers. We, again, believe in participating and practicing in a plan of correction. The response to that report is a plan of correction with the five elements. What did you do when that item of deficient practice was identified? How did you make sure nobody else was affected or impacted by that? What systems did you put in place to prevent it from occurring? And who's going to monitor that? So we ask that the report response be a plan of correction, and that be deliverable in about 2 weeks, 2 to 3 weeks. The mock surveyor will review that plan of correction to ensure that it's addressed and the systems they felt were in deficient practice, and bless it. And again, the next piece, you kind of think they're over with, but they are on guard or standby as soon as the state walks in. The administrators and directors of nursing let their nurse consultants and or mock surveyors know when the state comes in case, again, there is some question or some concern about the direction or what those surveyors are reporting.
I think the real power behind what you just said with regard to the report is, what do you do about it once you get the report? If you are creating an action list item based around the report and you correct any deficiencies that may have been discovered during the mock survey, that's powerful. Mostly because that's something you probably will not get a deficiency for when the state shows up. So equally as important as participating in the mock survey is to make sure that you follow up after the survey is over with that statement of deficiencies, as you described, and correct those items so that we move forward from there. So is there anything else you want to say about the mock survey?
Not that I can think of. I think we've covered it pretty good.
Well, I appreciate you being here, and I'm really appreciative of what you're doing in the field to help our communities get ready for the state survey, as tough as those can be. We've got a great track record going in 2017, and we hope to keep it up in all the communities. So till next time, this is the Health Service Division podcast, signing off.
Legal disclaimer. Life Care Services, LLC, is not engaged in rendering legal advice. Therefore, any information provided in this podcast, although intended to be correct, is also not intended to replace or supersede the advice of your legal counsel. Also, thank you to Ben Sounds for the music provided in this podcast.